Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Happy Valentine's Day, my friend. Glad you're with me. Great show lineup for you this morning. Lauren Davidson will be with us talking about her work. And Kaylin Badura will talk with us about Engineers Without Borders. And our own Miriam Dady has Mary Fannin in the business spotlight. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. And by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. Their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, my friend. Happy Valentine's Day to you. I mean, come on. Who loves you anyway? If you're talking about the big love, you want to talk about the big moose here. With King Keba at the helm, keeping us between the lines on the straight and narrow of this radio avenue that we enjoy so much with you every Saturday morning at our home station, 93.3 FM in Tallahassee, Florida. Freedom 93, Barry Kay and his good crew over there. Congratulations again to Will Dance, celebrating their first year over there. The Will Dance Show, that's cool. For our part, we're celebrating our fourth anniversary. This is our anniversary month, is it not? And I believe in saying that we may be the longest-running radio talk show focused on exclusively those very cool people and cool things that Tallahassee is talking about this week. And man, we got a great lineup of those folks for you today with none other than a woman named Lauren Davidson. She is a visiting assistant professor of dance at Florida State University. So we'll get to know about her work, Lauren Davidson, and some remarkable things that she's doing with students there, both those in preparation for dancing careers and those who have incurred some injury. And she's got a class that she designed for those students based on her own experiences as a dancer. So we'll talk to Lauren Davidson. That'll be cool coming up in this first hour. And Kaylin Badura will be with us in the second hour. Kaylin is an engineering student, I believe in her third year, Florida State University School of Engineering. And she'll be talking about Engineers Without Borders and an upcoming fundraiser they've got scheduled. Very, very cool organization that is giving back, you might say, beyond the realm of engineering per se. And really looking at how engineers and other related professionals are able to give back to the communities that find themselves in the greatest need for clean drinking water, for example. She's involved in that particular project going on in Panama here in a couple months, and so we'll talk with her at length about that. Kaylin Badura, fine young lady. Great example of the kinds of folks coming to us from this community and on this occasion by way of Florida State University because we also have Katie Mogel, who will talk about Dance Marathon. That's cool. Dance Marathon is a fundraising, year-long fundraising effort that benefits Shands Hospital and the pediatric unit here of Florida State University School of Medicine. I'm telling you, folks, you don't have to go far to find these very cool people doing very cool things, and we'd love to talk with them so that you get to know more about what makes Tallahassee work, right, and how it's working. Miriam Dady has our attention in the business spotlight coming up shortly. Miriam's got Mary Fannin. Many of you know Mary. She has been one of the most beloved member of the business community, well-known for, 30 or 40 years, I think, with Chelsea Salon. Yeah, now all the women go, oh, yeah, yeah. Chelsea is fantastic, an Aveda salon that has evolved over the 40 years that Mary's been doing this, and they have just such a fine reputation. Great example of a local business owner and indeed an entrepreneur who has adapted to that changing environment economically and socially, professionally, technically, all of those things that have impacted how they do what they do. And we'll have Katie Gibson. She's standing by here with events in a minute for you. So we're going to bring you up to date on local happenings, not the least of which is the wonderful group of performances going on with Opening Nights. So we're going to learn about Opening Nights. They have a film, never having seen this film before, or never having the opportunity to showcase this particular film. It's being shown here at Florida State University tomorrow. And we'll learn more about that. If you recall, in our conversation with Chris Hecox last Saturday, we learned all about that upcoming film. Well, that's tomorrow. So this is a very cool thing. In other more significant news, we've looked around the way and found stories that we found interesting, particularly out of this publication online. Have you come across this? I've mentioned it to you before. Thursday Review is the publication. It's an online news magazine that releases every week on Thursday. And the article in there particularly about Brian Williams and all that he has brought upon himself. And in fact, Carl and I were talking earlier about that, and Carl's comment was, you know what, how many of those in the business of newscasting could not be found guilty of some of the same things that Brian Williams now has been willing to reveal to us in his news reporting? Speaking to sort of the demise of news reporting as such and the whole business of the nightly news or the daily news or the 24-hour news cycle and what it has come to. So the credibility of reporting is certainly under fire in this case. And according to certain people, like our dear friend Carl, not without warrant. If you really kind of peel away the layers, or I guess in his words, if you believe everything that's being said to you online, on air, you're kind of going to get what you asked for. Don't be shocked to find out that there's a whole lot of, we'll say, misreporting going on. Anyway, poor Brian Williams in that whole situation has found himself out of business, because after all, if you're not telling the truth in news as a journalist, then, you know. In fact, one observer was making the point that you have to choose between being a journalist and an entertainer or a celebrity, and maybe that's the case. As you know with me, I'm constantly in that struggle, trying to decide which foot to land on, but I do try to tell you the truth as I know it. That's the question, isn't it? What do we know and what do we think we know? And how do we know what we know? We won't go down that path. The knowns, the unknowns, yeah, that's way too complicated for me. And we have other news to bring to you as we go forward. But for now, let's bring to the mic Katie with today's events in a minute.
Still in need of plans for Valentine's Day? How about a voyage to Mars at the Challenger Learning Center of Tallahassee? You and your loved one will test your teamwork skills and have a little fun flying a simulated space mission to Mars. For the less daring, check out Matinee of the Arts for the Love of the Arts, going on until 2 p.m. today at the Tallahassee Museum. With dancers, musicians, painters, crafts, and activities for kids, there's something for everyone at this Valentine's Day themed event. While you're there, visit the museum's new exhibit, Sketch Crawlin', at the museum, on display beginning today. The One Week Boutique is Tallahassee's seasonal kids consignment sale, and it's open this weekend through Sunday. Free admission, free parking, and great deals on everything for kids at the Civic Center Exhibit Hall. For all of you history buffs, replicas of Columbus's Nina and Pinta ships will be docked in St. Mark's this week through Sunday, February 22nd. Tours of the Sailing Museum are available daily from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Opening Nights presents a new groundbreaking documentary, Racing Extinction, being screened tomorrow night at the Ruby Diamond Concert Hall. FAMU Basketball invites you to their home court tonight for a daddy-daughter date night, 4 p.m. for the women's game and 6 p.m. for the men's. FSU Baseball plays today at 2 and tomorrow at noon. FSU Men's Basketball takes on Boston College Wednesday at 9, and FSU Women's Basketball plays Clemson Thursday at 7. This has been your Events in a Minute. For more information, visit our community page at TallahasseeTalks.com. I'm Katie Gibson.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I'm so happy to be here with a friend of mine and also one of the top professionals in Tallahassee, Mary Fannin, who is owner of Chelsea Salon. When you think about mid-February and Valentine's and romance, one of the things that I think about is shaking off winter blues, because that's what I find myself in the middle, since I don't have a Valentine myself. Mary, welcome. You also brought Paige here with you, the spa coordinator. I want both of you to kind of tempt us with the way we can pamper ourselves, shake off the winter blues. Tell me a little bit about Chelsea's and about your history in Tallahassee.
Well, Chelsea's is my baby. I've been the owner for 38 years.
Wow.
And we came to Tallahassee with spa. I would say it's probably been 15 years.
Oh, gosh.
We had our first spa on Market Street. And when we decided that we needed more spa, because we loved it so much, we created the new spa on Mahan Drive, and it's been doing fabulous because of the professionals that I have, Paige being one of the top ones, and their care is just phenomenal. And I'm going to test you to it before this is over.
I love that idea. How many do you have on staff?
In the spa, we have 10?
Yeah, about 10, I think.
10 mm-hmm. people in the spa.
Just the spa. That's not including hair.
Those of you that are listening, if you have not been to Chelsea's on Mahan, treat yourself. Just walk in the door and ask for a tour. They will knock your socks off. Tell me a little bit about the facility you have there. It's gorgeous.
Thank you. It is meant to have an effect on you when you walk through the doors of the spa. The salon is very busy and active and loud. You open the spa doors, everything comes down to a smooth feeling.
Mm.
My daughter, when we finished making this place, she said, "Mom, this feels like a men's den." You know, and I said, "Yeah, it's not designed just for women. It's for everyone who has that desire to be relaxed."
I'll tell you, when you showed me around Chelsea's, I felt like I was at a resort. I didn't feel like I was in Tallahassee necessarily. I was at a 5-star resort. It was quiet. It was beautiful. The rooms, I love them. That petty room, tell me about that, Paige. What can you do there?
The pedicure sinks were designed just by you, but specifically. They're totally customized. They're not like any other petty sinks at any other spa in town. And that we have really big, comfortable leather chairs, huge sinks with jets in them. There's music that plays throughout every room. And it's just a really soothing atmosphere. It's also behind closed doors, so you're not on display like in the middle of the mall, so men can come in there, and we have men come in there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Once they have a pedicure, they come back. You can't keep them out of there. So yeah.
Oh, that's great. And I like that you've got a room where if it's a bridesmaid's having a little party and they want to open up a bottle of champagne, you've got that kind of atmosphere. It's not in the midst of this big room with lots of glass. I just love that. Tell me about the massage rooms.
The massage rooms are also very soothing. They're dark. They are, you know, there's single beds in each room, although we can put two beds in a room if you want to come in for a couple's massage for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
They, you know, the music plays throughout. They're nice and warm. They have candles lit everywhere. It's just really pretty, and you just want to go to sleep when you get in there.
Oh, gosh. Well, I've been accused of having multiple personalities, so maybe I can just book a couple's massage.
Just for you and you?
Yeah, for me and myself. When I talked to you a little bit earlier, Mary, you were saying you've created a new kind of concept at Chelsea's.
Yeah, we may have to call it the Miriam, since we were doing it while we were waiting for you to join us.
I think this is just a great idea. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, we've been doing couples massage for just a few years, because I didn't realize how it was such a wanted opportunity, I should say, okay, so that people can have quiet time together without their children, basically. So we've created, Paige and I, the coordinator of the spa, so that we can offer to our clients the most well-coordinated spa event for you. Two people, you tell us what you like to do, or your special other likes to do, and we'll create you a day that is the Miriam day, you know. And Miriam can be with herself, or she can be with whoever she wants to be with. But it's just something that we can create because we can.
That is wonderful.
We will. tell us what they, we will have an interview.
Yeah.
And you tell us what you want for your special other, and we'll create it.
And Paige, you were talking about having kind of an opportunity just to question that person, even if they don't know what they want, or they're not like me. And I've actually given a certificate to a friend who said, "Miriam, I really don't like to be touched." You could kind of find those ways to pamper them beyond that, right?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Basically, I want to interview them and mm-hmm. just ask them some questions and just decide what I think would be the best day for them or their, you know, loved one. And it might not even be their loved one. It might be their mother or, you know, their grandma or the grandpa or, you know, anybody. But everyone likes different things. And I think that we can kind of customize it to fit, you know, what they need or want or, you know, just to make their day special.
That's perfect. So they give you a budget, you ask them questions, you design
and
a package.
Create a special day.
They say, "Yes, that's mm-hmm. it. That's what I want to do."
Exactly.
Great idea. Oh, my goodness. I'm melting as the two of you are talking. I'm here with Mary Fannin, owner of Chelsea's, Paige, her spa coordinator. And I really encourage all of you listening, treat yourself or someone you love to Chelsea Salon. Just call them up, and the number, Mary, would be
878-8282. And our coordinator is Paige Lindstrom. So she will be putting together those special days for this particular Valentine's Day.
Oh, Tallahassee, give yourself a little bit of pampering, not just on Valentine's Day, but every day. Thank you both for being here. I think this was just a treat for everybody's ears, and hopefully it'll be a treat for the rest of them.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there. Brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have Lauren Davidson with us. She is a lot of things to a lot of people, but I think mostly she would identify herself as a crazy person who just cannot stop dancing.
Sounds good.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Lauren is it assistant or associate professor?
Visiting assistant.
Visiting assistant professor at Florida State University School of Dance. She and I are just now getting to know each other a little bit, but what a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And it's our day to talk about dancing. We've got some other dance folks coming up to talk about a dance marathon. So you're in good stead here. You know, you've found yourself among those of us who are art lovers and dance lovers. And, I mean, I'm sort of that guy who in the room who has no ability to dance whatsoever.
I don't know. Maybe you think? Yeah.
No. I mean, I can tell you that I auditioned here just a couple of years ago for a role, as Tevye.
Really?
Yeah, for the Quincy Theater over there.
Yeah, right.
And so, like in the tryouts, we were all asked to get up on stage and. This choreographer was trying to get us to move. It wasn't pretty. I mean, I don't know. There are people still in traction, you know, trying to recover from that whole thing.
But a good experience.
I mean, you know, it was healthy. It was humbling. And clearly confirmed my suspicion that I have no business doing such things. But you, my friend, not only have done this and have done from my hearing well in your craft and your profession as a dancer, but now are helping other folks do just the same. Tell me a little bit about then this class that you're teaching, and there's really two different classes, aren't there?
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Sure. I teach one of the modern dance technique classes. I'm one of many contemporary teachers. The class I teach is based off of Paul Taylor's style. He's a modern dance choreographer, pretty famous, one of the modern dance makers of America. And then I blend it with a release-based style from a choreographer that I worked with in New York called Ellis Wood. Her name's Ellis Wood.
A release-based style. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's a little more dropping of weight, articulation, and initiation through body parts. So one body part starts to move, and then it initiates and follows through. There's a lot of components that go
Sounds rather complicated.
Yeah,
actually.
She used a lot of what's called body mind centering, so a lot of breath, a lot of ease of effort, mixed with a really powerful drive.
And it's distinctive. You would know that if you saw it being performed.
Yeah. So her blend was a mixture of those two things: very quick tempo, fast paced, challenging, high energy mixed with this release of effort.
Yeah. I'm fascinated with the idea that you have this group of young dancers. I think you said they're all freshmen or sophomore.
Yeah, I teach the classes I'm teaching now are sophomores, and then a blend of undergraduate and graduate students that are about junior, senior, and graduate students.
I see.
Yeah, but the class that's on the scavenger hunt today are sophomores.
That's what I was getting to. They're not out dancing anymore,
no,
are they?
No, not right now.
Scavenger hunt. Tell me about the scavenger hunt.
So the class is, they have been incredibly inspiring this semester, and I've been with them for about 6 weeks. They are powerful, dynamic. They challenge themselves. They're so focused. They are 100% devoted to fulfilling whatever their potential might be. And I've been trying to help facilitate that, and they've been meeting me more than 50%, I have to say. So because we were talking, you and I were talking today, I developed a sort of scavenger hunt or path of an experience. So they're having to read a few articles. One is a dance review and a couple of other articles about how dancers are becoming creative entrepreneurs, so trying to develop a sort of business sense to themselves as well as an artistic sense. And with that, the second part of it is that they have about 11 stations to go to on campus. So I have them starting in our building at Montgomery Hall in the School of Dance. And then I think their first stop is actually Starbucks. And then there's about 10 to 11 different paths that they're to take. And then I've prompted each directive at each station. And then they'll end up in, it's become kind of famous to me. It's a really nice sitting spot. It's a granite slab that has a sort of a sculpture. An Aristophanes quote on it that I'm not going to say word for word, but it depicts that you're honoring every friend and foe that has come before you on the same path.
Wow.
So you're right in line with this long legacy, this long lineage of people who have tried the same path, but in a different way because you're an individual.
So let me see if I get this right. They start with some stimulation.
Right.
From the caffeine, and then they end
right.
with inspiration.
Yeah, inspiration and contemplation.
It's brilliant. That's in fact, the whole thing sounds much like a dance, doesn't it?
It is.
I mean, it has that
it
sort
is.
Of...
Absolutely. Yeah, and their prompt is to... We talk a lot about individual choreography and how choreography doesn't have to be a set specific phrase or pieces of movements stylized together that, you know, have to be coordinated or have to be directed in a way that is a final production. So choreography can be your everyday life.
Uh-huh.
So the idea for today was that in their technique classes, they really are honing this pre-professional craft of technique, technical dancing. But along with that is almost, I feel, a much more important part of their dance life, which is life itself.
Life itself.
Yeah.
In fact, as a dancer, you were in New York for a number of years.
Right.
How did that change you?
I worked with a woman, Ellis Wood, the majority of my time there. I think I worked with her about 5 or 6 years. And it was an incredible experience. She, in some ways, was very hard to work with because she was extremely challenging. But I've never been pushed to my max potential before. It's really every day working with her was like learning something brand new about myself. And it was incredibly stimulating. We got a chance to tour nationally, internationally. I'm so grateful to have performed in many places across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
So that entire experience was what brought me a little bit closer to community building and realizing there are a lot of other people out there that I have no idea about. And that's what I wanted to know. And that's what I was trying to find a connection with everywhere we went to perform. The performance was incredible, but the people in the audience, the people that we came in contact with walking down the street, the people that remembered us from stage the night before and wanted to understand who we were as people, that was the most interesting part.
And were you schooled at Florida State as a student?
My undergrad is from New World School of the Arts down in Miami.
I see.
And I got my graduate degree from the School of Dance in 2012, a few years ago.
I see.
Yeah.
And so for you, this is a bit of a homecoming? How does it feel?
I'm originally from Central Florida, but I was gone for a while.
Yeah.
So coming back to grad school was really great, although I don't know North Florida I know it well. I have some family up here, but I don't know it that well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had no intention of staying in Tallahassee after grad school. I was on my way back up to New York.
Yeah.
But one of my professors at the time, Linda Davis, who is still in town, she really sparked an interest in staying in the community. And a lot of other mentors I had were offered the same advice, but I had gone through an injury at the time. So I embedded myself here, and it's been incredibly wonderful.
So that was, in fact, a bit of a transformation there, yeah. Right? Going through the injury.
Absolutely, yeah.
Related to dance, you were
yes.
dancing and hurt your, what, your
back.
Foot?
My back.
Your back,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So then you had to adjust there.
Yeah.
That must have been traumatic.
Yes, yeah. It was actually a really traumatic situation.
I mean, beyond the physical injury, it was all about you having to realize I can't dance.
Yes. And yeah. this one, because of the nature of the back injury, I was unable to dance for almost a full year.
Mm.
It was probably about 8 months. And then I started getting back into dancing kind of at this base level. But as life would have it, amazing things happen. And I ended up developing a portion of a curriculum, which is why I got hired to stay on at FSU. So it's called Injured Dancers Class or Cross Training for Dancers Class. And I developed that with my mentor, Dr. Tom Welsh, who's also still at Florida State.
Folks, we're going to talk more with Lauren Davidson about that, this other class that she's teaching. She is a visiting assistant professor at Florida State University School of Dance. And I'm having a great time learning about this woman and the inspiring work that she's doing and has done. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
For over 40 years, Marvin McFate has been building houses and helping families build their dreams. He's helped Tallahassee grow, too, by building a company based on three simple ideas: dedication, tradition, and innovation. It's a company dedicated to building homes that'll last for generations with time-tested methods and a clear understanding of how to make homes more efficient with modern innovations. Today, Vanguard North stands as a symbol of the best in home building and home renovation. So, here's to you, Tallahassee, and all the families that Vanguard North has had the privilege to serve. Thanks for letting them share in your dreams. You keep on growing, and they'll be here to help you do it with homes you love to live in today and for all your tomorrows. Vanguard North, home builders and renovators, on the web at vanguardnorth.com. Marvin McFate, he's a bit of a dreamer. He's okay with that.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking with Lauren Davidson, who is a visiting assistant professor, Florida State University School of Dance. And regretfully, we don't have another hour or so to just hear out this woman who has found not only a career as a dancer, but now as an academician is lending her skills and her inspiration to those young students who find themselves, as I think I heard you say, lasered on being a dancer. And your message is, yes, that's right. And the best way to get there and stay there is to be a person and to then what? To explore all that life is for yourself. And
yes.
Yeah.
Because that really ignites a certain type of creativity that just dancing doesn't allow.
Mm. And we should probably take a lesson there. I think any of us who, whatever we engage in, right?
Right.
There's more to just life.
Right.
Or I should say there's more to life than just a given activity.
Right, right.
Though we may be enamored with that activity.
Right.
We got to be real people, huh?
Right.
And so the scavenger hunt is part of that whole thing.
Yes.
I love that. And now at the same time, because of this injury that you incurred and suffered and the reshaping of that for you mentally and emotionally and spiritually, now you're teaching a class that is all about recovery?
Right. Rehabilitation, repatterning, dance conditioning in general.
Ah.
And it has a three-part program to it, which is mind, body, spirit. And it doesn't have to be the spirit portion of it. Can be breath. You know, it can be anything that has something to do with other than your physical self. Yeah, so you're tapping into
the metaphysical.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I heard a great little comment the other day listening to this author, professor of history, modern history at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. And he said he considered himself a spiritual person, mm-hmm. But not religious. He said spiritual people ask questions.
Right.
Religious people have answers.
Right.
So when you think of these folks who are injured in the pursuit of their craft as dancers, no doubt questions abound.
Yes.
And was that true for you in the fact that you were injured?
Yes. I developed part of the curriculum. There's a logging system, which is exactly that. It's a series of questions that I was constantly asking myself. Questions like, were there any changes from my physical energy level today, or my mental capacity, or my ability to obtain focus and awareness through these skills? So the dancers have to go through a series of questions that they ask themselves, and there's no right or wrong answers. It's just an observation. So they continually have to assess their observations of what they're feeling on their own, and then continually ask questions about how things are changing.
As a performing artist,
yeah,
as a dancer, how do you think, or do you think that dancers are peculiar or particularly different than, let's say, a vocalist or an instrumentalist?
Oh, I thought you meant peculiar in general, and I would say yes.
I would go for that too.
Yeah,
but I wasn't going to push you there.
I think there are by far more similarities in all performing artists. I think the main difference with a dancer, I don't know if a main difference is appropriate, but one of the biggest differences is that we're constantly living in our craft. Through every single cell. So,
yeah.
Movement. I mean, that there's never a minute when we're not moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for vocalists, it's the same thing. But their craft comes from one main centered point.
They're never not a dancer. They're never not performing in a sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas a vocalist can say, well, now I sing, now I don't.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I know probably a lot of vocalists might feel like they're vocalizing all the time as well, just like dancers
do. I know a couple
do.
Of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Carla Connors is one of those people
who,
when she walks in, hello, my friends, how are you? And it's always that sort of lyrical voice.
Right.
So I'm like, you're always on, aren't you? So maybe she's that example.
Yeah.
Because that's true for dancers,
mm-hmm.
then, is it tough? Is it harder for them to get that sense of separation, that distance that you're talking about? Hey, just be a person today.
Yes. I from my experience, absolutely. But it also takes practice. It's about repatterning your habits. So a lot of what we talk about is what's your habit? Your habit is to wake up and think about dance all day long, 24 hours a day. Well, what if you provide yourself with another kind of outlet, which is kind of the base of what they're doing today? One of the prompts is do not talk about dance. You know, we have this ability to keep ourselves activated on, it almost feels like a hypersensitization. So I'm trying to deactivate that and sensitize them to something different.
So it sounds as though it's that your work is focused not just on how to become a dancer, but how to stay a dancer.
Yeah, that's part of the lifelong career, because the passionate side of being a dancer, the reason a lot of us choose this career path is because we are, you know, peculiarly insane about about dancing for the rest of our lives. It's ingrained in us. There's no other path. So the idea of having to stop it at some point doesn't make any sense. So fulfilling a lifetime of that work is.
Do you find, and you said that your course, tell me the name of the course again.
It's technically called Cross Training for Dancers.
Okay.
But it does involve a bit of rehabilitation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that it's both, or all three. It's spiritual, it's emotional, it's physical, it's all of that, right?
Right.
It's human.
Mm-hmm.
So then for you as that instructor, You cannot stand back and talk about this. You're immersed with them in that process, you think?
Yeah. It's been easier for me to do this because I developed the program on myself.
Yeah.
I'm continually developing the program on myself.
You're mentoring them in that way.
Right. I'm mentoring and I'm also going through it still. I mean,
for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm still experimenting and I'm curious about things changing.
And the physical strain is certainly
a big part of that, right, for a right. dancer. But the emotional, I mean, we've...
The emotional, I would say, has more impact than yeah. the physical at most times.
Did you experience that, too, as a result yes. of the physical injury? Emotionally, you were just...
Yes, a mess.
A mess. Huh. Describe that. What, how so? Depression it, or
yeah.
anxiety?
Yes.
All of it. Yeah.
All of it. Huh. I had to find a way to cope with... That's the first time in my life where I decided I have to come up with coping skills that are different than the ones that I've been making because the ones that I have developed as a person are not working anymore. So when I started to develop those skills, a lot of what I was experiencing pain-wise came back as a different type of feedback. So I was looking at pain differently. So when I was looking at pain differently, my emotions started changing. My life started changing. So now I say, you know, for the dancers, the cue is, you know, use your pain as feedback. And that comes with a lot of situations in life. You use your reactivity as feedback. You know, how are you reacting to the situation? Use it as feedback.
Have you considered a career in psychotherapy? Yeah. Because honestly...
I've had questions about that.
Imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you... For you, then, the reinterpretation of pain.
Right.
What happened for you? What was that?
I was able to move on. I was able to move forward, and I... Because a lot of doctors that I had visited in the past mentioned, and dancers get this a lot, you know, they go through a debilitating injury and it's, well, you know, you're probably not going to dance again. Or if you dance again, the same issue is going to keep coming up. So for me, it meant that I kept dancing. I, you know, that's when I started working with 621 Gallery. And the director, Cynthia, has been wonderful. I started dancing there again. I started dancing at FSU again. I started teaching again. My creativity became a part of my rehabilitation process. Fantastic. And that was invigorating instead of what most dancers go through, which is this downward spiral.
She is an assistant professor, a visiting assistant professor at Florida State University School of Dance. Our guest this morning, Lauren Davidson. Thank you so much
Thank
for being with
so
us.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
Folks, stay with me. We're coming up to the top of the hour. ABC News is on up ahead, and we'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. Tallyconnection.com. Visit this week, find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second half of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Having a marvelous opportunity to talk with some very marvelous folks. Lauren Davidson with us in the first hour. Lauren, that person who we look at and think, man, she makes me tired just thinking about how energetic she is in all that she's engaged in. Visiting assistant professor over there at Florida State School of Dance, man, what a great person. We're going to have her come back and talk with us again. We have other news up ahead. We've got in this hour... a young lady, Katie Mogel, who is going to talk with us about the Florida State University Dance Marathon. Now, this is a national movement, okay? And Dance Marathon is a fundraising effort that goes on throughout the year that is crescendoed this time of year with their 1,800 students dancing for 40 hours in total. And pledges are made and money is raised. And all that money then is given to Shands Hospital, the pediatric unit, and the pediatric unit of our medical school here at Florida State University. So a noble cause, and it's for the kids, they'll say.
Going to learn about that. And then in the second half of this hour, Kaylin Badura will be with us. Wow. What a fine young woman she is, working with an organization called Engineers Without Borders. And I won't even steal the thunder there, but she's got a lot to say about the work that they're doing as a student-based organization that is the student chapter of this worldwide effort to bring engineering solutions to impoverished communities particularly. And I think they're in something like 30 or 40 countries around the world. We'll find out all about that from Kaylin as she joins us. In other news, of course, we're saddened. Those of us who are sort of techie and crafty, to learn of the now inevitable demise of Radio Shack. Carl and I, we were talking earlier about that too, and how saddened we are, cry and shame, I think he said, that Radio Shack has found itself on hard times. And the observation was they really lost track of who they are, their core, or more importantly, who their customer really is. And for its history, I mean, as a kid, you know, that was my, I loved hanging out at Radio Shack. Are you kidding me? I remember my first soldering iron that my dad bought me was, I was probably about, I don't know, 9, 10 years old. And I was making all kinds of stuff that didn't work, but it was fun. Soldering stuff together and took a perfectly good radio and broke it up into parts and then stuck it in a cigar box just to see what that would be like. But I digress. So Radio Shack is having to close stores nationwide, 2,400 stores amid court bankruptcy filing. General Wireless, the parent company for Sprint, has acquired somewhere between 1,500 and 2,400 domestic Radio Shack stores. Oh, that's great. I'm not really sure the logic there either. But whatever, that's what's going to happen. And so they will close the store at the Governor's Mall here locally. And I guess we'll assume that the other two locations will then be sporting Sprint products. We'll see how that plays out in the days ahead. Of course, the community is terribly saddened by the loss of this young lady who was killed tragically earlier this last week. And there are not words to express the kind of horror and the grief that this family must be enduring. So let's remember them in our prayers, shall we, as we consider our own loved ones. And especially in regard to the loss of those who we love and admire, the sheriff's office has announced that they want to do something very special in the memory of the former and now deceased Larry Campbell, sheriff of Leon County for many, many years. The county commissioners at Tuesday's meeting enthusiastically approved the naming of the sheriff's office administration building after the late Sheriff Larry Campbell, who died on Christmas Eve here just this couple of months ago. After having served 50 years as a public servant and 5 consecutive terms as sheriff, so what a fitting tribute to this man. It will be named the Sheriff Larry Campbell Administration Building, located on Municipal Way. So we think that's a very cool thing, too. Remember, that's what we do around here, very cool things with very cool people that make Tallahassee a very cool place to live and work and play and study and grow and live life, huh? Raise your family, start a business. It can all happen. Happened for me 35 years ago. I was a graduate student at Florida State University, bent on a career in social research and family counseling and sociology and social studies, all that sort of thing, and planning on heading back to my hometown, Seattle, Washington. Met my wife that first or second week in town, and 35 years later, we're still here. And Tallahassee has been good to us. And it's our opportunity here to give back a little bit with this radio show and encourage you, my friend, to continue on in what enterprise you find yourself engaged in. Doesn't have to be something you've started necessarily. Maybe it's just something that you've acquired or have been entrusted with. But I encourage you to do the best you can at being honest. We talk about Radio Shack losing track of the core mission. I think that has to do with why we do what we do, which you can also say is an expression of who we really are. So think about that for a minute. Who you are in the role that you play, what does that mean? Well, what are the things you believe in? What are the things you care most about? I'll tell you what we care about, among other things, feeding hungry folks. And so we've decided to underwrite and support and promote the Tallahassee Food Challenge. We're engaged in that, and we encourage you to participate with us. You can find us online, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. The food challenge is just that. We're taking the challenge, filling up the moving trucks with groceries and delivering those food items to the local charities, the food assistance charities that rely on those donations sizably, especially this time of year, critical need during the spring. So keep that in mind, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Well, we have lots of events coming up, and we've got Katie Gibson standing by with this week's events in a minute. Katie?
Still in need of plans for Valentine's Day? How about a voyage to Mars at the Challenger Learning Center of Tallahassee? You and your loved one will test your teamwork skills and have a little fun flying a simulated space mission to Mars. For the less daring, check out Matinee of the Arts for the Love of the Arts, going on until 2 p.m. today at the Tallahassee Museum. With dancers, musicians, painters, crafts, and activities for kids, there's something for everyone at this Valentine's Day-themed event. While you're there, visit the museum's new exhibit, Sketch Crawlin', at the museum, on display beginning today. The One Week Boutique is Tallahassee's seasonal kids consignment sale, and it's open this weekend through Sunday. Free admission, free parking, and great deals on everything for kids at the Civic Center Exhibit Hall. For all of you history buffs, replicas of Columbus's Niña and Pinta ships will be docked in St. Mark's this week through Sunday, February 22nd. Tours of the Sailing Museum are available daily from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Opening Nights presents a new groundbreaking documentary, Racing Extinction, being screened tomorrow night at the Ruby Diamond Concert Hall. FAMU Basketball invites you to their home court tonight for a daddy-daughter date night, 4 p.m. for the women's game and 6 p.m. for the men's. FSU Baseball plays today at 2 and tomorrow at noon. FSU Men's Basketball takes on Boston College Wednesday at 9. And FSU Women's Basketball plays Clemson Thursday at 7. This has been your Events in a Minute. For more information, visit our community page at TallahasseeTalks.com. I'm Katie Gibson.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard you're out on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. Glad you are with us. We have Katie Mogel, who has graciously agreed to join us. She is the external director for Dance Marathon. We're going to learn all about Dance Marathon and Katie's involvement with that. and how they contribute to the fundraising needs of Shands Hospital and the Medical School here at Florida State University. Katie, how are you? Nice to have you with us.
I'm great. How are you?
You're looking fine, too, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Given that you are a senior ready to graduate.
Yes, I am.
This spring, right?
Yes, like in May.
You're coming down to it.
I am. It's coming down to the wire.
So is there senioritis setting in? Are you like, hey, this is my last chance and party every night kind of thing?
Or
are you
no, not really.
Books and nose to the grindstone all the way down to the end.
Yeah, dance marathon's in a few weeks, so got to push through.
Just getting it done. And you're studying sociology, I understand?
Sociology and social work.
Right. What are you going to do with that?
I want to become a clinical therapist.
Ah, good. I'll make my appointment now.
Great.
So, yeah, I'll be your first patient. How about that?
Awesome. Can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
The word client is appropriate there. Well, good. Are you originally from Tallahassee?
I am from Boca Raton, Florida.
Did all 4 years here or two?
Yes, I did.
All 4 years at Florida State?
Yes.
So will you want to continue making Florida State or Tallahassee your home?
I don't think so. I'll probably go back down south.
Oh, don't do that. No. Chamber of Commerce would hate that. They want you to stay here and all these people with KCCI and EDC and all that. They're always talking about trying to retain, you know, the creative class, and I would put you in that category. That's okay. You're doing a great thing, though, in volunteering your time as this external director. I'm curious about that, for Dance Marathon. First of all, tell us, what is Dance Marathon?
Dance Marathon is a movement that is quickly sweeping the nation in colleges as well as in high schools. Dance Marathon programs raise funds for Children's Miracle Network hospitals all throughout the country. And at Dance Marathon at Florida State, we are very unique in the fact that we split our funds through Shands Children's Hospital and the Pediatric Outreach Program at the College of Medicine on Florida State's campus.
So we're reaching out to these medical programs, we'll say, medical facilities and such, with an eye on the needs of children.
Yes.
Is that the idea?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that what motivated you to get involved?
Yeah, 100%. We have a saying at Florida State, we say for the kids, and that's really why we all do it. It's FTK for the kids, and these kids are just so amazing, and they're so important to just be able to live their own lives every single day, and that's what the funds at Children's Miracle Network do. They help these kids live a normal life.
And as an external director for Dance Marathon, what does that entail? How do you spend your time helping?
My time is, I'm very busy all the time. My job as the external director is to reach out to the community and the Florida State students, get them prepared for Dance Marathon, help them with their fundraising, help them register to become a dancer at our 40-hour event in February. We have events for our students as well as the Tallahassee community. And we just want the community to support us, and that's part of my job.
Okay, and in that regard, as a sociology, social work major with an eye on developing your skills as a clinician, have you had opportunity to be at Shands Hospital and be with some of these kids?
Yeah, we have had the opportunity to go to Shands. We've sent students, we've sent our executive board, it's just amazing being there. The atmosphere in that hospital is absolutely incredible. Those kids are so incredibly strong every single day. The families are just such a joy to be around. And the staff is incredible. I mean, it's a wonderful hospital.
Remarkable. We're learning about Dance Marathon. And this is a year-long program that ends up, I guess, in the spring of the year.
Yes.
So it's just upon us. And that's happening when?
February 27th through March 1st.
Okay. 27th through March 1st. That sounds like a stretch. How many hours are we talking about here?
We have a 40-hour long event. We have over 1,800 students register to dance and fundraise, and they pledge to stand for 20 hours during our event.
So as one who is committed to sponsoring one of these dancers then, I commit to a certain dollar amount per hour. Is that how that works?
No, you can like donate throughout the year. We have a website where you can go and donate to, and you can donate to a specific dancer. You don't necessarily have to pledge a certain amount to the dancer.
But the marathon itself is raising money.
Yes.
Right. So these are students who have people who have pledged to support them.
Yeah.
Right. And they pledge what, $2 an hour, or how does that work? Or just a given amount of money?
They can just give any amount that they would like to give.
So if I give them $10 and the guy has to dance for 40 hours, that doesn't seem quite fair.
We have two shifts of 20 hours each.
Ah, I see. Well, still, I mean, you got to ante up here, folks. You can't just, you know, get cheap on us. You know, write him a check for $1,000. Come on. Dance Marathon, raising money to help Shands Hospital and the medical school here at Florida State University, their pediatric unit, and we have Katie Mogel, the external director. And then you've got another event that's coming up tomorrow afternoon on Sunday, the day after Valentine's Day.
Yes, so the 15th.
The 15th. Tell us about that.
We are hosting an event for the community. We are calling it the Miracle Rally, and essentially it's an event where we're rallying for our miracle families. We're going to have all different kinds of events happening. We're going to have some food trucks, live music, and it's just going to be a really great event. It's going to be held at Tully Gym on Florida State's campus, and we would really love to see everybody from the community come out.
Yeah. Is it by donation, or you have a ticket?
It's by donation,
yeah.
And it's going to be from 11 to 3 in Tully Gym.
Okay, so tomorrow from 11 to 3, Tully Gym. Come out and get some great food and meet some of the students and write them another check for another $1,000.
And, yes,
and everybody,
of course.
Everybody, yeah, come on. We all win. Talking about Dance Marathon here, where did this all get started? I know that the Florida State's chapter is one of like third or fourth largest in the country.
Yes, actually, our program started 20 years ago. This is our big anniversary this year, and we're actually trying to raise $1 million in our big anniversary.
Whoa.
So we are one of the founding five dance marathons, and we're also the fourth largest dance marathon in the country.
How cool is that?
It's pretty cool. It's very unique.
So not only do we have a championship football team,
we have a championship dance marathon.
Yeah, we have one of the most formidable dance marathon chapters in the world. In the world, Carl. This is great. Okay, well, folks, I hope that you're getting as excited about this as I am, because I think this is a very cool thing. Katie Mogel, our guest this morning. Katie, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What a pleasure. And you can certainly find them online. What's the website?
It is knowlesforkids.org.
Simple. knowlesforkids.org. Make a pledge. Go watch some kids dance their hearts out and help them do what they do so well. Folks, we'll be back right after this. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We are back and we are talking with Kaylin Badura. She is with an organization here in Tallahassee, a student chapter of Engineers Without Borders. And for those of you who, like me, are just now becoming familiar with this international organization, Engineers Without Borders has been around for a while. We're going to learn more about that from Kaylin as we speak. But let me tell you that they are in 39 countries and to date have created and are implementing 684 community development projects. And so the question remains, what is it that this organization really does? So, Kaylin, why don't I let you speak to that? Welcome, by the way. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here. I guess to respond to that, the mission of the organization as a whole is to sustainably provide for people's basic needs. So to help them create a life where they themselves can every day meet their basic needs on something that's a long-term track. So that way they can integrate different technologies and different things that they might not have originally had, whether it be different infrastructures or water filtration systems, and make it so that the community then can upkeep and keep in contact with the engineers who've helped implement this plan so that it can be a long-term project.
Is this something that happens? You're an engineering student.
Yes, sir.
And a junior over there at Florida State, huh?
Mm-hmm.
As a engineering student, did that come to you in your first year as a student? How were you introduced to the student chapter?
I guess it's kind of a complicated story. I actually started in physics before I switched to engineering. And even when I was on main campus, I was not out at the engineering campus, I had heard buzz about Engineers Without Borders. And
I see.
I had actually seen some advertisements for some of the different events they were having. I'm like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, what a great organization that's, you know, working towards making a sustainable difference in other countries and in other people's lives. So since my freshman year, I had wanted to be involved. But just being on main campus and having different class schedules made it difficult. But now that I'm out at the engineering school basically all day, I was excited to finally have a chance
fun.
To be involved.
What was it about that aspect of your, let's say, your academic career that, mm-hmm. that drew you in? I mean, it seems to me engineering school would be tough enough on its own, right? And then you wanted to get involved in something like this.
Well, I think some of the fundamentals in engineering focus on ethics. And that we as engineers exist to serve for human good. And so that's something I personally take really to heart. If I'm going to study engineering, I want to make sure that I'm helping to engineer a better world, I guess.
Wow. Both socially as well as, would say, physically, I guess, mm-hmm. huh? And you said you were a physics major.
Yep.
So where does your interest in physics and math and science begin? Was this part of your early days as a kid?
I remember as a kid, I was a big science fair competitor.
Uh-huh.
And it was always something I would get really excited about. And it was something my parents were always very supportive of, and they helped me foster that as I grew up. I guess my fascination with science came from my fascination with space. And ideally wanting to go into aerospace eventually. And so that's kind of when I switched to, or when I came into Florida State, I had plans of pursuing an astrophysics degree.
Okay.
And then over time, I've kind of refined that and had decided to go into aerospace.
Still have an interest in the space exploration then, or more as a...
Yes.
So you want to be up there or down here looking up, or both?
Yeah, that would be ideal. That would be neat one day to be looking at Earth from somewhere outside.
Well,
orbit.
Isn't it true, Carl? I mean, you can book a flight. There's somebody out there that's selling tickets
for that
opportunity.
It's very interesting.
Not cheap, but hey.
I imagine not. I was searching. I was looking around for different internships the other day,
mm-hmm.
and I actually came across a commercial space flight industry that's up and coming.
Right.
And I was like, that's so neat. Like, how cool would it be to make that a reality?
Yeah, especially if they let you fly the thing.
I wish. That would be exciting.
So for you then, science, and particularly being female,
mm-hmm.
that never inhibited you one way or the other. You just grabbed it and ran, huh?
It's interesting. I've been to, when I was in the physics program, I went to a couple of conferences for women in physics.
Hmm.
And when we go to those types of conferences, there's always some sort of panel on the difficulties of being a woman in STEM. And personally, I've never encountered a problem.
Mm.
My teachers have always been very supportive. My peers have always been very supportive.
Right.
And it's, I don't know, we can perform just as well as the guys, and it's...
Yeah, I have to say, I think better in many cases, because you multitask much better than we do, speaking for my gender.
I think it's really nice. I think in my entire class, we have 135 students, our graduating class for mechanical engineers. I think we have maybe 10 women. But it's nice because we add, I think having a mixed group adds a different dynamic. People have different insights. It's always good to have a good mixture.
Talking with Kaylin Badura here about her career as a student, engineering, junior over there at Florida State University, and this organization that she's gotten hooked up with, Engineers Without Borders, which speaks to that, you said, ethical mm-hmm. part of being an engineer and creating for the good of humankind.
Yep, and just bettering life for everyone.
And that's a boots-on-the-ground sort of experience. You're not sitting back
definitely hands-on.
In a lab. Yeah, so tell us about that. What's up ahead for this particular chapter here at Florida State?
So I think in March, I believe, we have an upcoming assessment trip where we'll be going back to Panama. We'll be sending a small group of students, and I think we're sending one of our mentors as well. And while they're on the ground there, they'll be doing a lot of different things. They do community development where you build relationships with the community because it's more than just going in and implementing, you know, something and then leaving. You know, we want to build that relationship with the community and get to know them and their culture and all the different aspects, you know, inherent with that. And so there's different things. There's water testing. They do like turbidity testing, check the clarity of the water. There's different things where we'll have to do some like civil engineering related types of things where we need to look at the roof sizes and the capacity of people that would be supported by that roof.
I see.
We've programmed a couple of different computer programs to help us with those sort of things and speed up the calculations.
Remarkable.
So it's nice. Engineers Without Borders, I think, is a really versatile group. You have a lot of different things. There's professional development conferences. We're always looking for professional mentors who want to express an interest in our community and sew into the organization. So there's everything from practice with grant writing and actual hands-on engineering as well as like engineering project development. So it's really great. There's a lot of different ways, I guess, to get your boots on the ground.
Very cool. And in that regard, it sounds like you're covering, even in that one project, talking about water purification, I guess, right?
Yes, sir.
The various components of that, the engineering aspects of it, the chemistry involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
The physics involved.
Yeah, there's definitely
so do you have students that are involved who are not engineering students precisely, or they just have that much ability? Or both?
I think it's a little bit of both. We have a lot of really well-rounded students who are part of it. I know that we have students from almost every engineering discipline. I think we have a psychology student, and I believe we have a student in another humanities, but I'm not sure. But on that note, we've been trying to increase our presence on the FSU main campus. So we actually hold our general body meetings, usually, which are every other Tuesday, on the main campus because we want people from other majors. Ideally, we want a mixture of engineers and art students and history people and
remarkable
psychologists and any major, really, because anybody who's studying something different might be able to offer a different dimension.
So that suggests, are you suggesting this, that, in fact, I don't have to be an engineering student to be a part of Engineers Without Borders?
That is correct.
See how I came to that? See what I did there? Yeah. Kaylin, you're enduring my Michael. I call it the Michael Scott problem that I have with my sense of humor. So here we are talking with Kaylin Badura, a lovely individual. And folks, if you haven't figured this out, she's brilliant. Wow. Talking about Engineers Without Borders, this organization devoted to bringing the betterment of human life, human living, by virtue of the skills that they bring together as engineers in various places around the world. And we're going to continue right after this. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
For over 40 years, Marvin McFate has been building houses and helping families build their dreams. He's helped Tallahassee grow too by building a company based on three simple ideas: dedication, tradition, and innovation. It's a company dedicated to building homes that'll last for generations with time-tested methods and a clear understanding of how to make homes more efficient with modern innovations. Today, Vanguard North stands as a symbol of the best in home building and home renovation. So, here's to you, Tallahassee, and all the families that Vanguard North has had the privilege to serve. thanks for letting them share in your dreams. You keep on growing, and they'll be here to help you do it with homes you love to live in today and for all your tomorrows. Vanguard North, home builders and renovators, on the web at vanguardnorth.com. Marvin McFate, he's a bit of a dreamer. He's okay with that.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and talking with Kaylin Badura. She is our guest this morning with this lovely discussion about Engineers Without Borders. And if you're just now becoming acquainted with that, Kayla's done a fine job in bringing to our attention the work that this organization has been doing for some time. How long has this organization been around, do you think?
At Florida State?
Or ever, where, yeah. I mean,
it's been around for a couple of decades, I believe.
We could dig into the website and try to figure that out. But
yeah, I know that at FSU we've been there for quite a few years as well.
Yeah. I'm just reading from the website, and it says, from the initial blueprint to the boots on the ground work, Engineers Without Borders members have impacted more than 25 million lives. That's a lot of people.
It's awesome.
And here you're involved in the local chapter here at Florida State and heading down to Panama here in a couple months, right?
Yep.
And in doing that, helping those people have water that they can drink.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about that system. How is it that the water is made
clean?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess to start with the basic idea, it would be a rain catchment system. So basically, I mentioned, I believe earlier, that the stream that they have access to fresh water.
Uh-huh.
The issue being that the stream is contaminated with different bacteria, which makes it not potable water.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the concern then is not access to water, but access to clean water. And it's in a pretty tropical region, so you can imagine the rainfall is pretty regular.
Yeah, yeah.
So rain seems to be, and then well, I guess becomes like the prime source for the cleanest water. And so the way we do that is, so you have a certain volume, I guess, of water that falls throughout their rainy season. And using the roof, you can catch a certain amount of that water. And then, so basically, by using a roof and then a gutter system, we're able to funnel the water off of the roof and then keep it in a separate holding tank for them then to draw from.
I see.
The trick being that, understandably, the roof is outside, so it's dirty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's all sorts of nasties that accumulate up there.
Yeah.
So we're also planning on implementing some sort of first flush system. And so the way that will work is, as the initial rain starts, the first couple of layers will wash off all that dirt and grime off the top, and it will come through, and the system will be set up so that it can actually funnel out a certain volume of water that would be calculated, so we can figure out the amount that would probably...
It's an estimation.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And that would go to a separate holding tank. And then as that holding tank fills, there would be a small peg or a ball that would rise, and then it would actually switch the funnel so that it would then fill their
Very
actual
clever.
Holding tank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Leave it to you engineer types to come up with something that elegant and yet effective. Yeah.
Kills two birds
I hate
with
you.
One stone.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. I wish I were more like you. My solutions are always much, much too complicated. See, that's the gorgeous thing about engineering. Well, or at least it can be when you have people like Kaylin Badura. She's our guest this morning. And talking about Engineers Without Borders and the work that they've been doing around the globe. What did we say? 25 million lives have been affected. And this is all volunteer work that you're doing, right?
Yes, it is.
So there's not a big bankroll waiting for you down in Panama.
No.
Yeah.
How
are you funded then?
As an organization, we're funded through different grants that we can apply for. So there's grant writing processes and things. We have some, like we try to outsource and get different sponsorships from different companies. Which usually come about in the forms of grants as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And we also do fundraisers.
Okay.
So one of our biggest upcoming fundraisers, actually next Friday, is Bands Without Borders. And it's one of our biggest fundraisers of the year.
Bands Without Borders.
Yep.
Okay. I get that Without Borders thing. That's clever, right? But this time we're talking about bands.
Yep.
As in musical performances,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Local, right here in Tallahassee.
Yep.
Where is this going to happen?
It's actually, so we've partnered with a local venue right off of Gaines Street. It's mm-hmm. called Garages on Gaines.
Uh-huh.
And it's a brand new venue, and we're going to be their kickoff event. So we're really excited, and the venue is really excited to be part of such a great thing.
And these are local bands that are performing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who are some of your performing bands? Do you recall?
Yeah. So we have a couple of different reggae or ska bands. We have Sanibel. We have Gary Dredd and Jamin. And then we also have the Brown Goose, which is an alternative rock band.
Yeah.
We have an individual performer who's also a Florida State student. So we'll have like an alternative acoustic. And then I think total we have six bands. So we have a really great lineup.
Ah.
We're really excited.
So your target audience will be those 18 to 25-year-olds, college kids, right?
Anyone who wants to
Old guys like me, too?
Everyone. 18 up.
I'm totally into Sky. I mean, you know, right, Carl? Am I right or am I right? We're talking like Frank Sinatra Sky? No? No, not that kind of Sky. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
I see skies of blue, clouds of white, you know. No, Brian.
It's okay. If you don't know the bands, then you'll know them by the time you leave.
I just need to be there and experience
it.
I get it. Okay, so now, and this is happening...
Next Friday, the
20th.
Yep.
Okay, so we got that, and it's in the Gaines Street area,
yep.
College Town, such. Mm-hmm. And it's, what's it called? The
Garages on Gaines.
Garages on yeah. Gaines.
It's
okay,
actually,
write that down. Garages on Gaines.
I'm trying to think. 603 West Gaines Street.
Okay, well, I've got my smartphone. I can Google it.
Yep. So you have the address and everything.
603 Gaines. And the whole effort then, go from what time to, like, what time
so
does
the quote-unquote doors. It's an outdoor venue.
Yeah,
but the doors will open at 7 p.m. and
7.
The show will start probably around 8.
Ah.
And it will run late. It'll probably go till 1 or 2 a.m.
And
we have a lot of different
is there a ticket price or is it by donation? Or
So the tickets will be sold at the door for $5 per ticket. Donations are always welcome since it is a fundraiser. But there's going to be a lot of great things. We have a local henna artist who will also be there. We'll have a food truck. And then there are two new avenues for drinks and food that will be available at that venue.
Lovely.
So there's a new Grasslands Brewery that's just opened
right.
up. And then I believe there's a cafe as well. So
right.
there's coffees and pastries right. and things.
Folks, if you've not been in the Gaines Street area lately, the way that Kaylin is describing this, there's a whole lot of happening going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this neat little... effort called Bands Without Borders is a good example, tying in with all that is available now because of all the renovation that's gone on.
It's been a lot of development.
And Garages on Gaines then is going to be the venue for this fundraising concert that goes from basically from 7 until whenever, right?
Whenever
probably,
it is.
Probably midnight or whatever. Way past my bedtime, I'm certain. However, being the hip guy that I am, I will make an effort to be a part of this and see
Fantastic.
if I can come up with more than $5 for you. Because my goodness, what a great mission. Well, let me offer this. I think that you've demonstrated that quite well here for us this morning. In your astute observations and your erudite contributions. Kaylin Badura, a remarkable young lady, an engineering student there at Florida State University, our guest, talking about this upcoming event, Bands Without Borders. That's Friday night down there at Garages on Gaines, a fundraiser for the student chapter, Engineers Without Borders. We are delighted that you were here. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great.
Folks, that's what we do around here. We talk with very cool people doing very cool things. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is a production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny, associate producer, Kayla Ferland, and our guest relations director is Mindy Clark. Stay with me from week... Be back with me again next Saturday morning. We'll be right here. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk with me.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week.